All right, go back with me to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, I want to read verses 6 and 7. We are going to look at these verses leading up to it, but verses 6 and 7 are what caught my attention. They say, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, I've titled this message, True Seekers. True Seekers. Isaiah is such a wonderful book. Isaiah 40 is about as good as it gets. And then you have Isaiah 41 and Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 43 and 46 and 44 and 45. 53, does it get any better than Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53 declares the mercy of God through a Savior. We know that. Look at Isaiah 53. Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men." He is. Verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." He did. Verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions." Verse 7, "He was oppressed, he was afflicted." Verse 8, "He was taken from prison and from judgment." Verse 9, "He made his grave with the wicked." Verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Verse 11, "He shall see the travail of his soul." The mercy of God through a substitute. That is the gospel. That's what we're going to be crying for all eternity. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then right after that, Isaiah 54 tells us how absolutely certain God's mercies are. Ordered and sure. Absolutely ordered and sure. Look at Isaiah 54, verse 10. It says, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed." I couldn't help. We call this mountain over here Bays Mountain. It's a hill, but we call it Bays Mountain. Well, it's going to be removed. It is going to be flattened. "The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." What he's saying is, this thing is ordered and it is sure. Verse 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." He's saying, "I give you my word. I give you my word." Now, Isaiah 55 says that God's sure mercy, this mercy through his Savior, is for anyone who needs it. Anybody. Absolutely anybody. Somebody will say, "Well, I thought you believed in election." I do. Verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." God's mercy is to be proclaimed to every sinner on the face of this earth. When I moved here, I really assessed, what do I preach? And I had preached before, but I thought, now I'm going to be doing this full time. What do I say to people? As they come in off the street, what do you say to people? And according to this word, God's mercy in Christ, the absolute, ordered, and sure mercy that is found in Christ, is to be declared to every sinner on this earth. Every single one. Our Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature. We're commanded to declare His mercy to every soul on earth. Here's the problem for every soul on earth. You already know what it is, don't you? They're not interested. They're just not interested. But for the grace of God, neither would we be. Now, last weekend, Brother Donnie preached. He preached Friday night. We moved our Wednesday night service to Friday night. And we moved our Sunday morning service to Saturday morning, and our Sunday night service to Sunday morning, and Brother Donnie did it all. And I didn't preach Wednesday night, and I didn't preach Sunday night. And as some of you know, this church is being so kind to us to help us remodel our bathroom. So I helped Brother Tony Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday tear our house all to pieces. And then Thursday, I cleaned up. And Friday, Brother Donnie got here. And I was caught up in the world. That's what I was. I was caught up in my house. I was caught up in water lines. In 2x4s. And dust. And you know what I realized in that week? But for the grace of God, I would have no interest in these things. I would get up. And I'd run into this world and I'd start doing and getting and gathering. And I'd do it all day long until it's time to go to sleep. And then I'd get up and do it again. But for the grace, we can say they have no interest in these things. Well, but for the grace of God, neither would I. Now, it was nice to have a little mental break, but I didn't enjoy that part of it. I really didn't. But for the grace of God, we would not thirst. And the world doesn't. They have no need of God. They have no need of God. None. No need of mercy. Their appetite is for other things. That's what it is. It's for other things. Verse 2, he said, "Why do you spend money for that which is not Christ?" And that's talking to me. Man, that is talking to me. I know this is why I felt so impressed to do this. It's because coming off of that, he said, "I'm the living bread," didn't he? He said, "Whoever eats of the bread I give will never hunger again." Never hunger again. Why are you spending money on things that cannot satisfy? Everybody says, time is money, and it is. It is. Time is money. Why do men and women spend what little time we have on this earth? And it is little. It is so little. Man, it's so little. Why do people spend what little time they have on this earth? Why do they spend their efforts? Why do they spend their energy on things that cannot satisfy? I'm not trying to judge and point the finger. I'm asking on my own behalf. Why? This flesh? Why? Why are people out there pursuing dead religion? Why? I want to preach this on the radio. Why are men and women going after, why do they love dead religion? Can't they see it's dead? Can't they see it's, they got to know it's dead. They got to know nothing's there. They have got to know that it's phony. It's just a pump-up session. It won't satisfy. Salvation by works, which is everything other than the truth. I don't care what denomination you put it in. Salvation by works cannot satisfy. And the reason is because you will never be able to stop doing. That's why. You'll never be able to stop doing. They never stop doing, do they? They never stop doing. And the reason is because they'll never do enough. They'll never do enough to finally say it's finished. Never. Verse 2, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. God is saying, listen to me. Man, I hope he grabs my soul and squeezes it and takes my ear and tunes it. I hope I listen. He's saying, listen to me. Verse 2 says, eat ye that which is good. Well, there's none good but God. Yeah, that's right. Feed on Christ. And let your soul, verse 2 says, delight itself in fatness. What he's saying is, feed on Christ and you will rest. That's what he's saying. You will rest. You will find rest. Rest from searching for a righteousness that will satisfy God. And then rest from struggling over your sin. Now, the Lord has called us out of religion. And he has given us a heart to see that Christ finished the work, hadn't he? We all know that. Christ finished the work. But we still struggle over this sin. And if God would allow us to feed on Christ, we could rest from that. When the Lord really lets us enter into Christ and his word, we get a break from it. We get a break from it. Last Sunday after the service, we went across the street to the Renaissance Center. And we had this wonderful spread of food. And I went through the line, and I did what I always do. I can't help it. I have to dip into every container on the table. And I came, and there was an empty seat next to Linda Farrell. And I asked her two questions. The first one was, is this seat taken? And she said, it is now. So I sat down. Second question was, I said, are you embarrassed by how much food I have stacked on this plate? I looked at her plate and she had a piece of chicken and then you could see a bunch of styrofoam around it. And she had some green beans and you could see styrofoam around it. My plate was a double-decker, two-story. I ran out of styrofoam, so it stacked food on top of food. You can't even see food. And I ate it all. And then I went and got dessert. And I got full. Man, every time I get so full. And I only wanted to do one thing. I wanted to go home and get on that couch and rest. I wanted to delight myself in fatness. And that's what he's saying right here spiritually. If your soul is hungry for God himself, and we talk all the time about that lack we feel, just that emptiness we feel. If your soul is thirsty for Christ himself, then he says right here in verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Incline your ear and come unto me. That's his call. Go over to John 5. John 5. Now the mercy of God in Christ is to be proclaimed to every sinner on earth. But John 5 verse 40 says, concerning every sinner on earth, you will not come to me that you might have life. You just will not come to me that you might have life. Not interested. Not interested. Even if they were, they couldn't come. Will not, could not. John 6, verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Does the Father have to draw a sinner? No. Will he draw every single sinner? No. If he draws me, what maketh me to differ? The mercy and grace of God. And that's what this is. He sends out his effectual call. And he draws his own. Look at John 10. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. They finally, you know, they've been just struggling along in dry religion, wondering what it's all about, trying to find the truth of the matter. And then all of a sudden, God in mercy, the grace of God and the mercy of God sends a call directly to a particular sinner. And all of a sudden, they hear him. And what they realize or don't realize is he knows them. It's not that I know him, it's that he knows me. And the first thing they realize is, he knows everything about me. He sees my sin. And it strikes fear in them. And they realize they have a need for the first time. And then they see Christ, the supplier of my every need. And they start to go after Christ. And he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and then they follow me. Now look back at our text in Isaiah 55. Here is his call, verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Incline your ear and come unto me. Neither one of those commandments are a work. Neither one of them. Incline your ear. That's something anybody can do. Anybody can do that. Doesn't matter how old a person is. You know, sometimes we think, well, you got to be old enough for these things. It does not matter how old a person is. It does not matter how young a person is, rich, poor, anything. Anybody can incline their ear, and it's not a work. You can incline your ear while you are reclining your body. You can lay there and incline your ear. It's not a work. He said, come unto me. Come to Christ. How do I do that? Where is he? The only way that a sinner can come to Christ is if he doesn't move a muscle. That's the only way. If he moves a muscle, he cannot come to Christ. Ephesians 2 says, by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord will not allow any sinner to boast in coming to Christ. No man can come except the Father draw him. So if he moves a muscle, he can't come to Christ. Look at the next book over, Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's the point I want to make tonight. Your heart. All your heart. If God does not take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh, and I mean daily, this flesh turns that heart of flesh back into stone that fast. And if he does not take out that stony heart and do something for this heart daily, I don't have any hope. If he doesn't keep me, I don't have any hope. I can't worship him. I can't love him. Let me just read this to you. This is Proverbs chapter 4, Verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Not the hands, the heart. And what I was talking about last week with this remodel, I don't have any problems with my hands. Boy, they can get right in there and do it. It's this heart that I have a problem with. And it's not the feet. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. This thing is of the heart. And it's not the eye and it's not the mind. You know, we get into this word and we skim the word with the eye and we skim the word with the mind. And I can tell you, if you prepare messages on a regular basis, you get in here and you start looking for outlines. I've got to get this job done. I feel the pressure. And so my eye and my mind start scanning outlines. What would be a good outline? I need some points. It would be good if it could come directly from a few scriptures back to back. I've got to find references. My problem is this heart. It has got to be of this heart. That's the difference between life and death. You know, so many people in religion, they can quote this word. They could probably quote it better than me. But this issue is in the heart. This call has everything to do with the heart. This article, I've read it to you before. Brother Henry wrote this, and he said, "Years ago, I read the following quote by an unknown author. I can appreciate the ability of the learned botanist to give me the scientific name of a rose, the origin of it, the various types of roses, how and where they grow, and the number of petals and thorns and leaves to expect on a genuine rose." I can appreciate that, all that information. "But too often, those who become overly entangled in these things somehow lose the most important things, the beauty and the fragrance of the rose." And that's what I want to smell and see every time I come here. And that's what I pray that God would overrule this flesh for. I want to see Christ. I want to smell that savor of Christ. He said, "You will soon weary my head if you don't warm my heart." Now listen to this. He said, "One can preach about Christ and not preach Christ, just as we can know how God saves sinners and not be a saved sinner." I believe that we know how God saves sinners. I do. I believe that when I go through these points and go through these truths, we know this. We know this. But this thing is of the heart. And if God does not do something for this heart, I'm a goner. Verse 3 in Isaiah 55 says, "Incline your ear and come to me." That's how you know the call of Christ. That's how you know it's of Christ. He does not say come to religion. And he doesn't say come to the law. And he doesn't say come to any man. He says come to me. Come to me and your soul shall live. Eternal life is in Christ. Not in obeying God's law. It's in Christ. "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." He said, "I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people." He said, "I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you." Never. Verse 4, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." I've given him for a witness. Christ is our witness. We have a gospel witness here. We have a gospel witness. What is it? It's Christ. Christ is our witness. We witness that Christ is our leader. We witness that Christ is our commander. He's our king. Verse 5 says, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." He's going to call nations that have no idea who he is. And it's that way every time. Every soul that comes to Christ came having no idea who God was, no idea who Christ was. And they're going to go willingly. They're going to start running willingly to him because he's going to make them willing in the day of his power. And he's going to do every bit of that for the glory of God his Father. All right, now with all that in mind, here's what I want to say tonight. I'm going to close with this. And this is a medium-sized close, not a quick close. But here's what I want to say. All that led us up to this. Knowing that no sinner will naturally thirst for God. None of them. Knowing that no sinner will spend his money, which means his all, on the bread of life. He's going to thirst and go after things that satisfy not. Knowing that God must call his own, and he must make them willing in the day of his power, that he must start the work and perform it and finish it. We know all those things. He says right here in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God causes his people to become seekers. Seekers. He made me a seeker. And I've heard your story. He made you a seeker, didn't he? And I know your story. He made you a seeker, didn't he? He made you a seeker. God's people become seekers. Every sinner that the Father chose and that Christ redeemed and that the Spirit calls becomes a seeker. Now, what is a true seeker? And am I a true seeker? All I want to do is look at these two verses. And I was going to just use these two verses. We could make a whole message out of this. We could do references in the whole nine yards. We're not going to do that. I just want to look at these two verses, and I want to ask some questions. And what I want to find out is, am I a true seeker? Verse 6 says, "Seek ye." Seek ye. Now let's all ask ourselves this in the heart. Is this personal to me? Is this personal to me? I do not want to be one of those sinners that shows up when we have a church meal or a church function. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, I'm a part of that organization. I'm a part of those people down there. Am I just showing up as a member of the congregation? Or am I a personal seeker? Am I satisfied with the congregation following Christ? Yes, I know that they preach the truth down there. Yes, I know that they are different. Yes, they follow Christ down there. Am I satisfied with the congregation following Christ, or must I follow Christ? He said, "Seek ye. Seek ye." Verse 6, he said, "Seek ye the Lord." Now, ask yourself this question in your heart. Really ask yourself this question. Seek ye the Lord. Here's the question. Is Christ enough? Is Christ enough? That's all we have here. That's all we have here. Our entertainment here is very pitiful. It is not amusing. Is Christ enough? Am I here for a feeling? If I leave without experiencing a movement, was Christ enough? Am I here for an education, or am I here for the Lord himself? Do I come here for him? That's what I want to know. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them." Is that why I come here? Because he said he would be here? Do I come here for him? Am I here out of obligation? I know I ought to be here. I ought to go. I just ought to go. Am I here out of religious duty? Well, you know, I'm now the song leader, and we got to have a song leader. Am I here for an example of morality? I want to teach my kids the right way. Or am I here for him? Am I personally here for him? Is Christ enough? Is Christ enough? If you're a true seeker, he is. If you're a true seeker, your soul will say, yes, he is. Christ is all. He's all. He said, seek ye the Lord. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Ask yourself this question. Is this urgent to me? I mean, is this urgent to me? Or am I okay with seeking when it's convenient? When nothing else is going on. Well, I would, yeah, I was going to be there, but Does it strike fear in me that we are not promised tomorrow? Is my heart burdened by the fact, just serious over the fact, that today is the day of salvation? It's today. What if, you know, I say this all the time. What if God came back tonight? Am I ready? Is this personal to me? Is Christ enough? Is this urgent? Or is being a seeker of Christ something that I can just put off till tomorrow? I can just put that off till tomorrow. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. A true seeker cannot put that off. Just can't put it off. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Call upon him. Ask yourself this. Do I deserve his favor? Or must I cry out for it? Must I beg? Must I beg? Do I assume on his favor? Did you know that that's what everybody in religion is doing? They are assuming on his favor. Do I assume on it or must I beg? Do I know that I'm lacking? And he's passing by and he doesn't have to stop. Do I see myself in the same condition as blind Bartimaeus? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. True seekers are beggars. I'm telling you the truth. True seekers are beggars. They beg for everything. They just beg and beg and beg. He said, call ye. Call ye upon him while he's near. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way. Now, it's fairly easy for all of us in here to see that we're wicked. We can all acknowledge that we're wicked. But here's the question I want to ask. I want us to ask ourselves. Am I willing to forsake my way? Am I willing to forsake my way? Everything I've ever known. Everything I've ever believed. Everything I was ever taught. Get to that point and say, you mean to tell me you want to just throw all that away? That all that time was wasted? We're not building on that foundation? Am I willing to be emptied? Emptied by God? Because he does that to every seeker. Every single one. They're emptied. Every single one. There is a way that seems right to man, a way of salvation, a way of acceptance. But the end of that way, every time, is destruction. Every time. Man has it wrong every time. Verse 8, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Ask yourself in the heart, has God put a desire in me to forsake my way? I don't care what I believe. I don't care what I know. If it goes against the word of Christ, Let's get it out. Cling to the way, Christ Himself. True seekers seek His way and not their own. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Is everything about me filthy rags? Everything, not just sinners, me. Is everything about me that brings pride to my flesh, all of my qualities, all of my accomplishments, after seeing Christ, do I count them all dung? A true seeker does. He's not seeking his own glory, he's seeking Christ's glory. He's not seeking his own accomplishments, he's seeking Christ's accomplishments. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. Do I need mercy? Not just sinners, me. You know, we say sinners need mercy. Do I need mercy? True seekers do. They do. If you need to seek Him. And if you only have a heart to seek Him. And if you have a heart to do it right now, today. And if you know that everything in you is wrong and He's the only thing that's right. Here's a word to all true seekers. Keep seeking. It is a daily, hourly, secondly thing. Keep seeking. Keep seeking the Lord. Do it right now. In the heart, fall on your knees and beg. Forsake everything you are, everything you thought, and turn to the Lord for mercy. And the end of verse 7 says, He will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. We set up the fact that if any man comes, the Father drew. If any man has a heart, God put it there. The glory does not go to the seeker. The seeker is a result of the work of God. All who seek in this way find. They have found. All who seek in God's way have found. So, Lord, make us true seekers. Make us true seekers. All right, let's stand together.